I want to talk to you about doing life God's way. Now, there's a lot that you and I need to learn in life. And no, it's not going to be learned what we need to know by the one beside of us. What we need to learn about life is taught to us by God's Holy Spirit, God Himself. He says, I want to speak to you. I want you to know something about yourself. Here's something I want you to ponder on. I want you to ponder the fact that you have existed, you began your existence when you came to the heart of God. Now, that's according to Scripture, that's before time began. I was on God's mind. So God gives me this earth suit called a human body. And it gives me, in this earth suit called a human body, the freedom to choose. We are the only of God's creation that have been given the freedom of choice. I'm telling my class this morning, the dog's going to bark. You can't take the bark out of a dog. You can try, you can mix, cat's going to meow. But a human being has the choice of becoming. Always becoming. And God saw us becoming before time. You know, I knew I was getting old, but I just never thought of it that old. Ancient. Now, I'm going to put you in this body, your earth suit, to travel on earth. Now, soon, it's not going to take but a twinkling of an eye in time. I'm going to withdraw you from that earth suit, that body. But I will always see to it that you exist. You exist. And when you know me, you will live eternally with me. No one will pull you out of my hands. I want you to know that's doing life God's way. God will do His part in my life. Will I do my part for the life of others? Will I proclaim the truth of Christ? Will I stand for what is right? Will I stand for God's Word? Will I seek God's will? Why would I do that? Because God loves us. He loves me. He loves you. And yes, He loves that ornery individual out there that you don't think anybody could love. God loves them. And He'd love to have us doing what He called us to do. How do I know that? Well, I read it in a book called the Bible. John 3, verse 16. God just so loves me. Oh, that's more love than you can imagine. God's love for you. And He said, don't you worry, you'll never be separated from me. I'll always be there. And I will always be there with you. And when you're doing life my way, I'm the one that will watch after you. First of all, in doing life God's way, commit everything you have to God. Problems, joys, excitement, sorrows, good days, bad days, good relationships, bad relationships. Commit everything to God. Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him to help you do it, and He will. Lord, are you in a mess, folks? Are you looking at your life and you're saying, you know, I cannot handle one more thing to go wrong in my life. You know, it's my last chance. In life, God gives us continual chances. He does that with continual love. And He says, as long as there's breath in your body, as long as you're in this free will state of the human existence, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Don't you let preachers trick you. Don't you let somebody talk you into doing something. If I talk you into getting saved, they call it, then somebody can talk you out of it. I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life at 8 years old. I'm born again. I'm born from above. I've been saved. I am in the hands of Christ. No one can withdraw me. Throughout my whole life, you don't grow up without mistakes. And let me add this one to you. You can't grow unless you make them. Mistakes, bad moves, bad choices. And then God says, trust me, and when you trust me, I am the one that will pull you out. But what happens? Every time something goes wrong, people blame God. They blame God many times on infant deaths. They're angry with God. Why? Because God takes an infant before something worse could happen to him, and God loves him and God protects him. And God said, don't sweat it. I got you, baby. I'll introduce you. Listen to me, folks. I got a God that loves me. You have a God that loves you. And he's looking after you. But never, ever blame God. Proverbs 19, verse 3. People's own foolishness ruins their lives. But in their minds, they blame the Lord. They blame the Lord. You know people that's done that. Get mad at God over something. They blame God for something. God says, I love you. I trust God. I trust my Savior. See, I don't know how to do life. I know I've read all the books too. Didn't do me any good at all. Do you ever notice that your life sort of bypasses what all the smart people tell us we should have done? It doesn't even mention the situation we found ourselves in. There's a book called The Holy Bible that's got it covered. But you see, I can't remember all of that. But I can remember this. I refuse to blame God for any bad stuff that goes on in my life. Growing up, any of you men ever have a big bad case of the stupids? Yep. Larry's got two arms and a leg stuck right up there. Yeah. Yeah. If you don't think you did, just ask your wife. She'll remind you of a lot of them. Yes. But why do we blame God? He's the only one that can give us peace. I'm sorry for my mistakes. I'm sorry for the people that I've hurt over the years. I'm sorry for a whole lot of things, but I can't change those things. And only God can fix them, can mend the broken heart. Yours. You cannot receive a blessing from God by blaming God. The blessing won't come. The vengeance is there, wanting to get back at someone. I'll show them. And they're sitting over there saying, I'll show him. And there's war, and there's distrust. We're living in a nation that is split. Right now, split. I got a lot of this come out during Veterans Sunday, but it breaks my heart to see that. But you know what I've noticed? I see the problem is too many people are indoctrinated as they grow up through our educational system and all, to convince folks there is no God. There is no right. There is no wrong. And if they see there is no right or no wrong, there is no God, there is no salvation and there's no punishment, that's called anarchy. That's called mobs in the streets. That's called evil. Evil. God says, commit everything to me. And don't you dare blame me. Next, let God work through you. I cannot do God's work. I am only allowed to allow God to work through me. God does his own work, but he chose to use us to be the conduit of his work, of his saving power. You know, tell them about me. Tell them the truth. Let them know I love them. I don't care how rough they are. I don't care how ugly they are. I don't care how beautiful they think they are. I love them. And I want to bring out the best in them. Philippians 2:13. It is God who is at work within you, giving you both the will and the power to achieve His purpose. Will, power. Anybody ever tell you that? Oh, you just need a little willpower. I hate that when people say that to folks who are having some kind of an addiction. Or you just got to have the willpower just to back off. Few can handle that alone. Very, very few. It has to be God's will and God's power. But He gives us enough sense that if He set a doctor in your path and that doctor says, take a pill and chill for a while. Folks, I love you. Take a pill and chill for a while, will you? Don't lose it and lose your life. God says, I will be with you. But it's my will, my power that will get you through. Everybody wants to be so independent. I do. Oh, mercy. I don't need any help. Thank you. I don't need any help. But Larry, you're in the floor. Your back's out. You can't get up. Oh, I'll get up eventually. Give me about 10 days. You think of that. We're stubborn, aren't we? Hard-headed. I love you all. And God looks at us and says, I will, and I'll give you the power. Don't you understand that you may be the will for someone else out there and God's sending you to them? Now you go tell that hard-headed Larry Pete that you're going to help him up, and if he says anything about it, you'll twist that back a little more. He'll know I sent you then. Think of that. So, if God says, okay, Paula, I want you to go, and I want you to help someone, then you will be a blessing to that someone. If that someone refuses your help, that has just hurt your blessing that God wanted you to have and hurt the blessing that they would have received just through our stubbornness. So would we please quit being stubborn? And yes, you can bring me all the peanut butter fudge you want. I'll accept it, and I'll eat it. God says, I love you. Your pastor tells you, I love you too. I will tell you the truth. I'll tell you the word. And God says, pay attention. Oh, and when I read that Bible, I think, you know, God wrote the Bible, saw to it that it was out for you and me. And He wrote it to every hard-headed individual that would ever exist. Maybe that's who exists. Let God work through you, not worldly attractions. Don't let the worldly attractions work through you. Mark 4, verse 19. The attractions of this world and the delights of wealth and the search for success and lure of nice things come in and crowd out God. Boy, they do, don't they? I love pretty pickups, don't you, men? Yep. Some of you love good rod and reels, fishing poles. Some of us allow the world to try to sneak in on us. Got to watch it, folks. Got to watch it. That world will eat you up. Jesus will love you. And He said, I want you to pay attention. Let me work through you. And don't let the worldly attractions work through you. Don't do it for personal gain. Preacher, if you stand in that pulpit and all you do is talk about money, this is a poor church. I can tell you that. I'd give anything to get some windows in this church before they fall out. Boy, that might start a good revival if one of these bad glasses fall on somebody's head. And say, whoo, it's time to get to shouting and doing something. But we're a poor church. That's okay. That's okay. God takes care of us, doesn't He? And God says, I love you, but I want you to understand, don't you dare let the attractions of the world destroy you. And then the third and final, Trust God totally. That ain't easy, is it? You know, it's just like the idea where you're going to do the trust game. You all remember doing that? We did it in the Marine Corps. I didn't trust any of them. We did it in the Marine Corps. You close your eyes and you fall back. I knew what was going to happen. I knew. We could threaten each other, but it was just in us. Let him fall. You know, it was just, God doesn't do that. Trust God totally. 2 Timothy 1:2. God is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. I committed my life to the Lord. He didn't say, Larry, I want you cleaning up. He didn't say, Larry, I want you doing this or doing that. You know what he said, Larry, I love you. I love you when you're right and I love you when you're wrong. But I don't want you to be hurt. I don't want you to hurt others. So you tell them the truth. You trust me totally. 2 Timothy 1:12, God is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Remember again, that's the Apostle Paul telling that to young Timothy. Timothy, he is able. You know what Paul was saying? In all his wisdom, all of his great learning, he says, God is able to keep that which I've committed to him. He said, I can't do this. Do you know Apostle Paul said that he was the greatest of all sinners? And he said it in present tense. I am the greatest of all sinners. And what we're reading, 16 books of the Bible that's attributed to him, he was truthful. He saw himself. He knew who he was. But you know what was greater? He saw God. And he knew that what he had entrusted to God, what was it? His eternal life. His who he is, his spirit that had existed before time began. Oh, now, preacher, where are you going with that? I'm going to heaven with it. Where are you going? Jesus says that I will live eternally. Now, I had to change forms. When you were a baby, you don't look like you now like you did when you were a baby, do you? You used to be cute and cuddly. Now look at us. No. No, we changed. And we're going to grow right out of this body. But that ain't the end. Folks, the Lord says, oh, it's such a short period of time. Not even a twinkle in our existence. And we got supper waiting for us in heaven. We have loved ones that are there waiting for us that are excited about us coming. We don't get excited so much about leaving. You know why? None of us in here have ever died yet. And so often that human part of us tells us that's the end. Well, folks, for the Christian, it is not. For the lost person, it is not. It's just where do you choose to spend eternity? So trust God totally, not yourself. Not, don't be pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. You are going to rip those boots. You can't do it. Listen to me. Proverbs 10:8. The self-sufficient fool falls flat on his face. Oh, I got this. No, you don't. You just think you do. God's got me. I belong to him. I'm a child of the king. And you got to go through him to get to me. I'm not going to blame God. Something bad happens to me. Of all the bad or wrong that I see in my life that has happened to me, I brought it on. So why don't I stand up like a man and accept the responsibility and give the credit where it belongs to the foot of the cross, the Christ who died for me. He said, that's enough. Larry, you prayed long enough. Get up and do something. Yes, that's scriptural. Folks, don't you dare keep praying as an excuse not to do. Well, you know, I'm going to go pray about this. You've been praying about it for 10 years. Yes, I'm going to pray a little longer. Why, you ornery, sin-sick Baptist, you just don't want to do any work for God. That's why we're going country, Brother Randy. Because God says to us, I love you, but you got to trust me on this one. Trust in the Lord. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. And it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings and the joy of salvation, for your truth, for your love, for your Son. Touch each of us now, dear Lord, as we lift to you all the heaviness of life itself. Help us to encourage one another. Help us to be with each other. Help us to remain in your service. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.